It is Friday, January 17th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
So Rudy Giuliani henchman Lev Parnas had a lot more beans to spill on MSNBC last night, including a claim that Trump's old attorney John Dowd asked him to sacrifice himself for Trump. Meanwhile, new evidence shows that Georgia's election systems were likely hacked before the election that gave Governor Brian Kemp his narrow victory over Stacey Abrams. And lastly, Florida's Supreme Court rules in favor of a poll tax for ex-felons who won the right to vote in 2018.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Lev Parnas claimed in a new interview on Thursday that he was visited in jail by a former attorney for Donald Trump who told him to cooperate and sacrifice himself for the president. John Dowd, who once served as an attorney for Trump, briefly served as Parnas' attorney after he was indicted in October of last year for campaign finance violations. Part two of his interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow that aired Thursday night, Parnas recounted firing Dowd. He said during a meeting where he expected to discuss making bail, Dowd instead allegedly told him, "Be a good boy," though Parnas admitted he doesn't remember what Dowd told him verbatim. Pressed by Maddow if they were asking him to sacrifice himself to protect Trump, Parnas replied yes, adding, "They tried to keep me quiet." You will remember Dowd was also Paul Manafort's lawyer, while Manafort made a deal with prosecutors that ultimately was just about Manafort getting more information on what they had on Donald Trump. This new allegation comes after Parnas turned over a trove of documents, records, and messages as evidence for House investigators, which have since been handed to the Senate as the impeachment trial begins. Florida's state Supreme Court on Thursday ruled in favor of denying convicted felons the right to vote if they don't pay fines and fees associated with their incarceration. It's a decision that was immediately assailed by rights activists as unconstitutional and an immoral poll tax. The court ruled that all terms of sentence in the law included fines and fees because they are included in, quote, any portion of a sentence that is contained in the four corners of the sentencing document. In a statement condemning the ruling, the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, the Brennan Center for Justice, and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund said the ruling does not, indeed cannot, alter what the U.S. Constitution requires. Felons in Florida had their right to vote once restored by a public ballot, quote, upon completion of all terms of sentence, including parole or probation in 2018. The state's Republican-led government has worked to undermine that right. Surprise, surprise. The state GOP in 2019 passed legislation implementing the modern-day poll tax and drew criticism from progressive groups and rights advocates. The new court's affirmation of the legality of the law is the latest step in the process of reversing the initiative.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Politico is reporting that a Georgia computer election server contains evidence that it was possibly hacked before the 2016 presidential election and the 2018 vote that gave Georgia Governor Brian Kemp a narrow victory over Democratic opponent Stacey Abrams. This is according to an election security expert. The incident, which occurred late in 2014, long before either of those elections, not only calls into question the integrity of Georgia's voting machines during critical elections, but raises new questions about whether attackers were able to manipulate election data and voter information through the compromised server. Georgia counties were among those that Russian hackers targeted in 2016 when they breached some state websites and probed others for vulnerabilities that would have given them access to voter registration databases and other election data and systems. It's unclear who may have carried out the alleged attack or if voter information was altered, but the election security expert who uncovered the activity believes that if hackers did breach the server, they could have gained almost total control of the server, including abilities to modify files, delete data, and install malware. And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
Time magazine reports that YouTube has been actively promoting videos containing misinformation about climate change through a feature that determines what users watch for 70% of the time they spend on the platform. This according to a report released on Thursday. At least 15,292 people were fatally shot in the United States last year, according to a new report from a nonprofit that advocates against gun violence. Figure released Thursday by the Gun Violence Archive Group represents a 3% increase in gun deaths from the previous year. New York Times reports that 11 U.S. troops were injured when Iranian ballistic missiles struck two Iraqi bases last week. The military finally confirmed this on Thursday. The military statement is in direct contradiction to earlier claims by Donald Trump, who posted on Twitter the morning after the January 8th strikes, quote, "No Americans were harmed in last night's attack by the Iranian regime." And lastly, Bernie Sanders, who has been surging in the polls this year, is now tied with Joe Biden for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination among registered voters. This is according to a Reuters Ipsos national poll. The online poll released Thursday shows that 20% of registered Democrats and independents say they would back Sanders, while only 19% supported Biden, 12% said they would vote for Elizabeth Warren, and Mike Bloomberg edged out Pete Buttigieg for fourth place with 9%.
Quicker Quickie.
That's it, folks. Thanks for listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie. Lucy?
Thank you, Sam. Don't forget to check out the Majority Report today at noon, wherever your podcasts are found.